there anyone else who wishes to testify? Please come forward.
My name is Todd Farrington. Good afternoon, Commissioner Bowles and Commissioners.
I'll give you these pictures.
Yep.
Pleasure of the Commissioner. May I put the staff recommendations back?
Yes, I think that was a very good idea.
I'd like to answer a couple questions. Mr.
Zedron,
right. Senior. You asked about the CMAQ discussing about bushel limits to get dredging back open. Well, staff had already came up with this designated amount of bushel limits that would allow for dredging to open back up. And it's very similar to the same amount of bushel limits that are in place now for the 10% reduction. They're not the same exactly, but they're close. And your question again, please?
My question to Mr. Mullis was if he indicated in his testimony there was a shift in effort when the crab dredge fishery was closed, that there were more pot fishermen out there. And I wanted to see if he had a reason why the bushel limits were not met.
The bushel limits were not met because it was a depleted abundance. That's why the bushel limits were not met. That's why the 10% reduction was put in place last year, because of a depleted abundance. And that bushel limits, all the regulations that were put in effect July 4th of last year were put in effect because of depleted abundance and was supposed to be a one-year thing, a one-year deal. All right. Please bear with me. I want to start out by saying that after over 30 years of different conservation measures, most of which are protecting adult spawning females with little positive effect, it's time to rethink our tactics. Fix and repair the regulations we have in effect now instead of adding more and more to it. There's ways to create conservation that's already in place that's not really balanced out. You look at your winter dredge survey results, take a look and you see how unpredictable and erratic the abundance has been through the whole time from 92, 93, all the way up to date. Nothing steady, up and down. Mostly in 7-year cycles is how the crabbers have dealt with it. Before 2008, there was always a dredge fishery involved with that fishery. Before 2013, everyone was on the same level. Everyone, every gear license was on the same level. 51 bushel limit until the end of May. Unlimited harvest after May till the end of November. Unlimited. I couldn't believe it. That was ridiculous. Nothing has been established to help this resource. It has not. Just a little bit of gain we had this year. We had two failures before. In 1994, the spawning sanctuary expanded from 146 square miles, 75 more square miles. In 94, they closed the Hampton Roads from dredging. The clam stock died off and the shell pile settled, basically because of the grasses that the dredgers used to move off of the clam beds and the shell piles. It's not a grass. It's a hydroid. It's an animal. And it's becoming more and more abundant in the rivers and the lower bay every year. The dredge survey boat has operators, Mike Sebo, I'm sure Rom can verify this, that this hydroid, this correct, Rom, is very, very abundant in the lower bay. And it very dense, and it will lay over top of everything. It'll snuff out the life of the clams. They can't breathe. They can't get out of the, you know, the bottom to survive, to filter the water. Did that in the Hampton Roads, and is doing it in the bay now, where we stopped dredging what little bit we were dredging. One other fact about this hydroid is it's really a monster to the crab. This hydroid, crabs love it. They hibernate in it. They use it for camouflage. I've got a printout about this hydroid, and it's an animal that is thriving in our bay. It eats plankton, and it eats larvae. Where do our crabs come from? Crab larvae. This whole lower bay is covered with it. Since we don't dredge it anymore, we don't move it to clear the bottom off for crabs to go out there and rub their eggs off and let their larvae get away free. They've got to deal with an animal out there eating up what they're producing. In 96, the dark sponge law was implemented. 300 crab pot limit in Virginia tributaries. No more than 300 crab pots were allowed in the tributaries. Up to 500 were allowed in the bay and the ocean. The 2000 Bay Wide Blue Crab Sanctuary was expanded another 435 square miles, increasing it to 656. 2001, the winter dredge catch limit was reduced from 20 barrels, 60 bushels, to 17 barrels, 51 bushels. 2002, another 272 more square miles added to the totaling 928 square miles of sanctuary. 2007, we were able to keep dark sponge crabs to the July 16th.
Hey, Ty, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt a history lesson here on the management changes. Could you address what we're looking at for this year? I mean to be helpful.
I'm trying to be helpful. You're not letting me be helpful, but I'm trying to be helpful. All right, let me skip to this. Before 2008, CMAC recommended that the crab dredge fishery be opened, left open, not closed, by using bushel limits on crab pot fishery and the dredge fishery. Reduce bushel limits on the potters and the dredge fishery. I'm going to quote Jack Travelstead. Said, bushel limits cannot be used for conservation compensation because the crab potters will just bank the crabs in the pots they don't fish after the limits are caught. Dredgers can't do that. All this being said, I can say this as a fact. The dark sponge law is a nuisance law, and the crabbers and the law enforcement, to the crabbers and law enforcement, it creates a waste of the resource and hurts the industry. I know it has only been advised for from June 1, but it needs to be removed from the books. From the books immediately. It was advertised for June 1. It's been recommended no later than June 15th by CMAC, meaning it could go to June 1 because it was advertised for June 1. ROM and staff recommend 15th. I'll show you these pictures. I took those pictures yesterday. I had them developed yesterday. And I brought them to you today. I caught those crabs in pots yesterday. If you look at the pots, the ones in the pots, you can see the legs pulled off of their bodies. And if you look at the ones where they're laying on top of my engine box, you can see where the legs are pulled off the bodies. This is early, late May, water temperature 70 degrees. These crabs get in the pot together, and they fight each other. Not only that, they got little predator fish that come in there beat up on them. But anyway, we've been saying it for years. It's a wasted regulation on our resource. The black sponge law needs to be reduced to June 1 because of the fact of what's being harvested and caught in the crab pots is being mutilated like they are because of the way they are. It's just the nature of the beast. Do you deny that, those pictures?
Please, just address the commission.
Okay. So, and like Rom said, we take these crabs as a dark sponge and throw it back. Chances are he's going to swim right back in my crab pot because I threw him right back where my crab pot is. He's going to go right back in there because the fish is in there. And he's going to get ate up some more. And the amount of spawn and egg release is very minimal. So, you know, I'm up here saying that the crab dredge fishery needs to be opened up because of the discrimination, and it's a fishery that is very clean. The black sponge law should be cut back to June 1 because of the evidence. It's been said by Rom. They fight each other. I've already stated the part where Rob said that they suggested to keep the current bushel limits in play for, the 10% reduction. Why? We're not depleted anymore. It was put in place because we were depleted. If you want to keep that current 10% reduction, open dredging back up. Give us the dredge. Get rid of the dark sponge law. They want to take, and give us nothing back. Give us something back. Keep the bushel limits where they're at. We can live with that. Give us our dredging back and get rid of this dark sponge law that wastes our resource. One other thing. These gentlemen here with the peeler pots are talking about the lower bay. Same scenario as your Sanctuary 1A, Sanctuary 1B. These gentlemen are down the bay. They warm up quicker. You want to shut them down to the 1st of May. Well, it's not going to hurt the boys up the bay because their water's warming up later. So if it's good for the crabbers, do it for the peeler potters. Let them open up the 1st of May or the 1st of April and wait and let the up-to-bay peeler potters wait until the end of May. You know, it's a discrimination thing. But anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Farrington. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Mr. Sanford.
Actually, live on the Eastern Shore here in Virginia, but I crab in Virginia Beach, and the reason I do that is because of the amount of crab pots on the lower shore. I can't compete. I'm not going to break the law. I don't fish over my limit. Okay, I crab out of Lynn Haven. I'm actually from there. I've crabbed there for 30 years. You're talking about shutting me down May 1st or May 9th. We usually don't catch crabs in the Lower Bay Sanctuary until about April 8th. You shut me down. I'm basically going to have about a three-week season. That's where I make all my money. If you also look at the sanctuary, I don't know if you realize this or not, but number two, number three, which is really, three's not even, you can do whatever you want there. Two and four go right to the shoreline. Nowhere else in the Chesapeake Bay goes to the shoreline. So I have to run 15 miles up the bay towards Wise Point, or I go towards Willoughby. Nowhere else in Chesapeake Bay do you have to do that. And I don't understand why you want to shut me down. This is where I make my money. This is my living. And I want to answer a question as far as like the, actually I got a question really. The sanctuary for the oceanfront, I have to have that open. Try to delete effort in Lynn Haven River is what I did. Did the city of Virginia Beach actually protest that? Or?
No, Mr. Sanford, they didn't. They made inquiries about it. We didn't have a formal letter one way or another.
Protest or nothing like that. But staff says the reason why y'all can't support it is because of interactions with boat traffic and other things. Is that correct?
That's staff recommendation.
Right, okay. I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but basically we work from Cape Henry Light to the Ramada, which I guess is like 45th Street, 52nd Street. So we don't even go past the fishing pier at Virginia Beach. You know, we've crabbed there. Basically, there'll be, if any, three people there crabbing. We don't fish a large amount of pots. You can't fish there like that. It's a very, well, dangerous area. You know, you can go set your pots on a nice calm night, go down there the next morning, your pots are gone because of the surf. Take it right to the beach. You can't work there. We work there about 4 weeks out of the year. We're just trying to find a place to make a living. That's all we're trying to do. No more, no less. Period. Plain and simple. I've been doing this all my life. I don't know anything else. I don't know what to do. You know? I just don't get it. I'm on CMAQ, and everybody on CMAQ, and I was actually shocked to hear this. This is the first time I've ever heard anything like this. They were saying they didn't want to have the Upper Bay Sanctuary changed because they didn't want to take away from anybody else. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. You know, I'm upset about this whole thing, you know, because you are taking away my livelihood. That's all I have to say. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Mr. Moore.
Chris Moore, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I think you have a letter from me. Oh, it's going there now. So I won't spend a lot of your time. I just wanted to hit kind of three high points there in our comment letter. One is the bushel limits. Those have been working this year, been placed this year. Talking with the crabbers that I talk with and other folks, we think this has done a good job, one, making sure that we keep a control on catches, but we also, especially with one I talked to, have indicated they think it's done a good job with the price as well and making sure we don't have a glut of crabs coming on the market anytime in the spring. And so I think the commercial watermen in general, I won't say I speak for all of them, but have been pretty happy with that. We support the staff recommendation on the sponge crab issue. It's something that we do, I won't say tepidly, but it's something that we looked at the science that Roth presented, thought long and hard about it, and think that it makes a wise use of the resource and making sure we're not excessively wasting resource trying to conserve it. And so we think that's the June 15th date is a reasonable request to move that back from July 1st now. And then the last one I'll kind of highlight at this point, the dredge fishery this year, the crab resource is in a little bit better shape than it was in the past. We do feel like we need to be meeting or around the target female population before we reopen that fishery at this point. And obviously we're not at that point right yet. And so we don't think it's a good time to reopen that fishery at this point. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please come forward, Mr. Gregory.
Charlie Gregory, I'm a waterman of Lower Bay, crabbing sanctuary 2, used to crabbing sanctuary 4 till it was closed. You know, we make our living in area 2 in the spring, and from March 17th till when y'all close it on May 16th, it's really a long period of time for us to go out there and work, and we don't have a place in the mainstream of the bay to work. I got a 500 pot license. I can't take my 500 pots and use them all summer. I don't have nowhere lawfully to go unless I pack up and go 50 miles across the bay or Hampton Roads Bar. And you can walk across the pots on Hampton Roads Bar today. Like, I'm going to be able to put 500 more there and give us a little area down there to work a little bit longer. Y'all got us crammed inside Lynn Haven River now, and there's more boaters in there than would go around to the ocean on any day. So I don't see a conflict if you open the ocean up and let us go down there. It's our own loss to go down there with Mother Nature, and then on the weekend in the river, it's nothing to lose 5 or 10 pots to all the boat traffic or thieves. Give us a little break. Let us have somewhere else to work. Cramming us on top of each other all year, putting on a limited resource in a limited area.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Is anybody else in the audience wish to be heard on crab measures? Yeah, please come forward.
My name is Robert Johnson. I would just like to say, pertaining to the regulation where you can't have a crab pot license and a buyer's license, I would just like to suggest that maybe you entertain the idea of having a buyer's license as well as a crab pot license on the boat. But for whatever crabs you buy, you have a signed invoice with the crabber's identification number that would identify that you could purchase those crabs from somebody. That's something that would be enforceable. And hearing y'all go back and forth, unless you go search somebody's person, I don't know how you're going to tell which license they have on or which one they choose to present, but it would add to the fishery that you could buy product from people from your boat, which was the purpose of the seafood buyer's license on your boat.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Anybody else? Come forward, please.
My name is Frederick Sanford. I just have one issue I'd like to speak about. It's the sanctuaries that I work in Area 2, I guess the original sanctuary. And this year, there was no crabs caught there until April 27th. You set a crab pot there. Nobody had anything at all. I crabbed out there all for 2 weeks. I never had a crab in my pot. So, and you're proposing a May 9th. So that's going to give us 9 days to crab in that area this year, if it would have taken place this year. I don't think it's fair that you extend the season up in the upper bay and you take away from the lower bay. I mean, I don't have anything against those people wanting to work till June 1st, because I would love to work till June 1st. And it's just, like everybody's saying, we're overcrowded in the lower bay. You force this one little area when we got this great big bay. Nobody's crabbing in. There's no boats out there. And I would really like to see us get a June 1st closure like we used to, and alleviate us from going up into the rivers when crabs are spawning. We got black sponge crabs, so when we had to move our crabs in the river, our pots in the river, all we're catching is black sponges, and we're throwing them back. We're not helping anything there. Outside, everything was clean. There's no sponge crabs. And it's not fair or equitable to us to allow people up the upper bay have a different time when we're saying, you know, you're going to make us leave at May 9th. That doesn't, there's no need to even have a crab fishery in the lower bay. I just, you know, I got a family, I got 3 kids, and you want to take it away from us at May 9th, and that's just, that, you know, we have no other options.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sanford, I'm now really confused. Are you saying your season ends and you don't catch any more crabs when the sanctuary is closed?
We are forced to go in the Lynn Haven Inlet, and it's just a small body of water, and it can't handle the amount of crabbers that are in that area. And I used to crab in the Oceantront, and, you know, and when that was taken away from us, I mean, it forced us up in the river, and it's just, there's way too many crab pots in there.
And I understand that.
But I just would like to see this whole area. Why can't it all close on, you know, May 15th or June 1st? Not just giving these people up the bay and you take 2 weeks away from us. That's not fair or equitable. And I believe there's something in the state constitution about that. But I just, you know, you make your decision today. I would, you know, hope y'all would just give us the May 15th too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? The public hearing is now closed. I will ask staff here to recap or rebut or make final statements.
Someone help me find the slide. I want the options. I don't think I would rebut anyone, but I would provide the commission some information as we go through this. And so the commercial season, number one, March 17th, November 30th, you know, it is true in the future that if the abundance levels stay relatively low, that the commission at some point should probably consider April 1 again. April 1 was the date when the season opened, and then that was modified to March 17th. And the commission saw, with our information, what can happen in March if it's a warm March. 2.4 million pounds were harvested in March of 2012. And then by the time May was here, things were slowing and getting slower as you went through the season. So there's something to be said, both from a market standpoint and from a conservation point, that right now we don't have enough information to advise the commission to look at a later opening, but that may be something to look at the future. So otherwise, staff will stay with that recommendation. The bushel limit, I think there are a few comments about that, and really everyone should realize the bushel limit that is in place was only in place from July through November. It was the bottom slide of what Andy showed you. So that's where really you saw more, I think it was 23% of the 85% pot category. Those folks got at least the bushel limit. There was also a column that showed 75 to 99%, and there were several in there. The bushel limit is still a work in progress. We'll better be able to assess that when we have better abundance as well. So if the abundance this year from July to November, according to the crab dredge survey, that should pick up. There should be even better harvests in 2015 in the fall and late summer than there were in 2014. Then you'll see situations where the bushel limit is more effective. But I don't think anyone should have expected for the first part of this, July to November 2014, that was going to be how the bushel limit was going to operate. So we can't see changing that. The non-crab pot gear season, again, I heard some things which aren't correct, but not to rebut, but just to say the peeler pot fishery is not 1%. It's 5%, and it's been 5% for many, many years, 5 to 6%. That's in pounds. The 2014 season was the best peeler season in about the last 7 years of reported data, and that's always one of our concerns about the peeler fishery. You heard Mr. Griss say that it's at least word of mouth that not all the peelers that are harvested end up in reports. What shedded ends up in reports. And shedding mortality in the spring, especially with what are known as green crabs, they haven't signed yet, and even white signed crabs, which will turn back, shedding mortality can be fairly high. But then you get to the summertime when the peeler fishery is still going on, we've had more than one report about 50% mortality. Someone who's very diligent and very expert at this, they can cut that way back. So the peeler fishery, the other part about the peeler fishery is if you go by number of crabs, it's probably about 9 to 10%. So that 5% of weight turns out to be 9, 10% by number of crabs just because their weight is so slight. So that's important to consider, and the discard that was mentioned early is important to consider. Fairness, not to talk about the past, but the only measures that have happened with the peeler fishery have been when the 3-inch law was put into place rather late. I think that was probably getting to 1996. We didn't even have a peeler size. And then later on, by 2008, we finally ended up with what we have, which is 3 1/4 inches, which runs through July 15th, and 3 1/2, which runs the remainder of the season. Maryland and Potomac River Fisheries Commission had that for years. So I don't think it's a matter of being unfair. The other measure was there were 400 peeler pots allowed, and that was reduced down to 300 peeler pots. And I believe there was a lawsuit about that, which was unsuccessful. So a lot of the concentration on management has not taken place in the peeler fishery, if you look at that. So that's just over time. If you look at some of the information on the 22-point plan, which the commission enacted management measures from the 90s all the way to 2007, a lot of that was based on hard crabs, pots, seasons, sanctuary, those type of situations. So we don't see April 21st as a problem in the spring the way that it was described, if it's reported. And I worked this up earlier today. Joe Cimino had provided it, and I put it into percentages. but really it's about 1.6% of the peeler harvest over the last 7 years combined occurs before April 21st. A fairly small amount, and in some years it's point something. So most of the peeler harvest traditionally 45 to 55% is May, and then the remainder of the year accounts for the most. Now there are obviously some good peeler runs in the Mobjack, we've heard that are early, and you know they certainly have a situation that probably they are seeing them earlier, you know, 10 days earlier than other places. But it would be tough to look at area-specific measures in a pinpoint manner. So instead, what happened is on the western side of the bay, it's April 21st. As you go up bay and on the eastern side, you're up to the 26th of September. And it's not 10% anymore. It's closer to about 5%. So that's the background involved with the non-crab pot gear seasons. On item four, pertaining to crabbing, and Mr. Johnson's comment, he was the speaker who was just up here, we think in time that's something law enforcement can work with fisheries management staff on, but for right now they saw a evident problem with harvesters, crab pot gear licensees, getting buyer's licenses, and that's the immediate situation that we're trying to address. And so that's why, for right now, staff would recommend at least going the course on the way the regulation is drafted. The sponge crabs, you heard quite a bit about that. VMRC staff would go with VIM science on that. You saw Dr. Lipsch's situation as to when it's 77 degrees Fahrenheit, and that seems to be right around mid-June. And so when this started out, sponge crabs weren't allowed the entire year, the dark-colored sponge crabs. And then it was July the 15th, and then it was June 30th. After that, you could keep them. And now this next turn is June 16th. You'll be able to keep the sponge crabs in number five. The sanctuary drew a lot of comments, and I know that CMAC was behind the situation with Area 4, but staff does think maybe it's been in the past 3 to 4 individuals at most, but what happens now? And what does happen with a recreational area, even if it's down to 52nd Street, as was mentioned by Mr. Sanford, is that something to justify conflict, user conflict? And staff recommendation is it's not. In terms of the upper part of the sanctuary, everyone needs to realize that when the commission went to put a May 1 date on the entire sanctuary network, it couldn't do that in the Code of Virginia area in 1942. The commission had to get legislative help to do that. So the first year around, 2008, the lower part of the sanctuary, the 1942 sanctuary, was the same. It didn't get changed. By 2009 and 10, however, it was May 1 everywhere. And 2009 and 10 happened to be very good years. So if there are good years, we would suppose that that was good throughout the bay. There was a comment on the phone conversation from a gentleman from Tangier that he wouldn't want to impinge on anyone else by having something for Tangier. But that flies in the face of everything that staff and CMAC has heard for the last 3 to 4 years, that as soon as they start to crab in the upper area of the sanctuary, it closes. And that's not the case in the lower part. So that's the recommendation for the sanctuaries. The winter dredge, the last situation, staff doesn't think there's any reason that CMAC can't refine the dredge fishery season, the limited dredge fishery season. That's perfectly fine. It's just that staff has no expectations to come back and suggest an opening for the 2015-2016 season. And that's mostly in keeping with the abundance, and it's also in keeping with staff is charged to have these triggers. And I know that's been a source of contention.
Chief, Matt Hull has a quick question he'd like to get on the record.
With regard to item 7, is there a reason why the crab pot fishers are treated differently than the crab dredgers?
As far as the season?
Yeah.
As far as the season, that's just the overwintering part of the crabs. That's when they're starting to burrow, depending on temperature, about 48 degrees Fahrenheit, they'll start to burrow in. And so that gear is needed to remove the crabs from the sediments.
I think, in effect, if I could simplify it, dredging in the summer when the crabs are not hunkered in mud is really silly. Excuse me? Dredging in the summer would be very silly, whereas crab potting in the winter, the dead of winter.
Two opposite things, but exactly. It's still the same fishery. You're still catching the same product.
The same species.
Same species.
Correct. Thank you, Chief.
Staff is recommending adoption of these 7 items and the attendant regulations.
Public hearing is closed. Matters before the commission. Mr. Erskine.
I guess I have a procedural question. There seems to be obviously a lot of issues. Are we going to take these, or is the idea to take each one of these as a potential motion, or take them as a block of 7?
Well, we could take staff recommendation as a block, or we can separate them out as individual motions. Whatever your preference is. I don't think at the end of the day it makes that much of a difference.
I guess I have another question. As part of our mandate and part of these, I guess, agreements we've had with Maryland, those kind of things, I'm assuming that we would be breaking some kind of regulation somewhere if we just said, oh, yes, we can increase crab catch to unlimited amounts. There's some base we need to stay within. I'm assuming we do have some agreements with Maryland, and
there's an agreement with Maryland to work in concert to achieve conservation goals from a 30,000 foot level. From a regulation level, no. As long as we're achieving the same level of conservation,
I guess that was my point. If you change one thing, you have to change something else to keep in the same conservation levels.
Conservation equivalency is the
that's the
byword. Chief, you can help explain.
Yeah, so I think last year the agreement was a 10% reduction for all the Bay jurisdictions, and this year when we met, the idea was to very slightly have any modifications, but to stay essentially with the same type of approach, which is bushel limits in all 3 jurisdictions is the main one.
Mr. Close.
You know, I sit here and listen to all this, and I have a thing in my truck on every regulation it is on crabbing, and we all sit here every year wanting to know, what do? Well, it goes up, it goes down. It's all effort. I've sat here today, I've heard everybody in the audience, I don't have room for my pots here, I don't have room. Bottom line is, we have a fishery that's out of control. You can't enforce pot limits, am I right, Rob?
Well, you have to realize that
I want to know how many tickets were wrote, so can you enforce pot limits? That's all I need to know, yes or no?
I don't have that data. I know I was asked about the dark sponge for the same reason.
What I'm saying is, we're going down the same beaten path.
It's a vessel limit, though, to answer your question.
Or a vessel limit with, you have 2,000 docks running all up and down the tributaries. How are you going to enforce bushel limits with how many officers we have? It's all about effort. We've been studying this for 4 years. Rob been studying it for a long time. And, I'm sorry. I just have a sour part in my mouth with cutting out one fishery and letting another one be out of control. I'm sorry. I just have that. And until we get a grasp on how this is being run, you're not going to change it. That's my opinion. That's my 2 cents worth here today.
Chief?
So I think vessel limits can be enforced. I think, in fact, not all vessel limits, because, as you say, enforcement can't be everywhere. But they can be enforced, and, in fact, that led to the situation about the buyer and the harvester on the same vessel. But I think, ideally, we probably need to get away from pot control, because they're not being enforced, because they can't be. You can't expect an officer to pull hundreds of pots, and they might be in two areas, and they might have different flags. So the vessel limit is the first step. At least that's tangible. When that vessel comes in, it has an amount.
But
first step.
That's the first step, but, you know, when you're achieving your bushel limits on five times the amount of gear you're fishing, what have you achieved? If your bushel limit's 27 bushels or 10 bushels, and I'm fishing 600 pots to achieve it on a 300-pot license, where has conservation came in at all? Everything's flawed. I'm sorry.
Mr. Zeter.
I heard a gentleman talk about this grass or this...
hydroids.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Dr. Lipschitz can probably tell you more about hydroids than I can.
And the question is does this dredging help, you know, do away with that stuff? If it's if it has that effect on the crabs.
The second part's not known. Rochelle Seitz made a presentation. It was one of the bullet items that the commission asked about, the effect of dredges, not on the hydroids, but the effect on the bottom, on the substrate. And there's still not enough information particular to know for the Chesapeake Bay. But if you want to know about hydroids, I would recommend Dr. Lipschitz.
Is there anything in particular here you want to change?
Yeah.
Mr. Bell.
Addressing the 1A and 1B sanctuaries, I had to step out for a minute and use the restroom because this went on for a while. But was there anyone from Tangier or that area that was here to support the changing of those dates?
Throughout the last few years, yes. At the particular meeting that was referenced, there was an alternate for the committee member, and the alternate did not want to say that he would have something if someone else couldn't. But throughout the years, we have been hearing that very strongly. The other thing to mention, it was mentioned very briefly, there's a lot of movement of harvesters. So in the spring, what happens is when that sanctuary closes, you get a flock that goes to Cape Charles. They might even go further. And so part of the sanctuary closing a little later in 1A, you would expect that harvesters don't have to congest as much in other areas. But my understanding is Cape Charles gets loaded with harvesters.
All right, well, how about this for a staff forward, path forward here? Do you want to all vote on each of the seven staff recommendations one at a time and make any adjustments that you think may garner a majority vote? Or do you want to take them all in a block?
I would do them all in a block is what I would do just for brevity. But I sympathize with Jimmy Dean, what he's been saying since he's been on this thing, and the crabbers and what I hear last year, the crab population is terrible. You have to do something, but then I don't know what that something is. And if you do this, that's bad for me. Do this instead. And it's basically we're told we have to do something to make the population better. We're also being told what we're doing is bad. It's bad for them, and I don't know what the. You know, I see you standing up back there, and some of the stuff you brought. I'm sorry. Well, I was some of the 2 years ago. Some of the proposals that you and your group brought forth,
I thought were innovative, and I thought that long-term they would be things that we should be looking at, and I still think so. But that doesn't help me today, you know, right now. And you know, so you know, my inclination would be to, it's the same thing I said 2 years ago. My inclination is to approve staff recommendations, but I really think some of these different ways of approaching these things are where we're going to have to go. And so I don't know what we've looked at, because this, you know, I guess 2 years ago is when I've heard a lot of the same exact things. And so I don't have it. I don't know what the right answer is, and I don't know that. But I think there are some things that we probably need to be looking at things differently, but I don't know what that means.
I've motioned to vote on them one at a time. I mean, I'm sorry it's late, but I'll make that motion.
All right.
Second.
Okay, we'll vote on them one at a time. I'll make that decision here as the chair. So, agenda item number, staff recommendation number one, continue the seasonal management approach. Opening the commercial pot season March 17th and closing the commercial crab pot season November 30th. That's the staff recommendation. Is there a motion to approve it or to change it?
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballard.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? Any new discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Number one is approved unanimously. Number two here of staff recommendation, continue the current bushel limit management measures and the dates for the upcoming season. Ms. Erskine.
I think in some of the comments around here in the public hearing that there was support for that, and they were saying it's a good measure to continue. I think there is a good management strategy there. I'd make a motion to approve staff recommendation number two.
Motion by Mr. Erskine.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. That's approved unanimously as well. Number three, staff recommendation. Adjust the closure dates for the non-crab pot gear season, closing on September 26th instead of September 16th, and reopening the non-crab pot gear season on April 21st instead of May 1st.
Make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion to approve staff recommendation by Mr. Neal. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zedron. All in any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. That motion is passed unanimously. Staff recommendation number four. To make it unlawful for any vessel to act as both a crab harvester and a crab buyer on the same trip.
I think some words got out there, and I did read them earlier. It should be any person on any vessel after on the first.
That's a good clarification. Thank you.
Any person on any vessel. Right?
Make it unlawful for any person on any vessel to act as both a crab harvester and a crab buyer on the same trip.
I mean,
Mr. Zedron.
The gentleman that spoke up here that said that plus unless the buyer had receipts from an angle work, why not?
It's just too cumbersome to do that. To get the receipts right there. This is a buy boat, so the license is on the boat itself. The boat is there. He's receiving product, and you're relying on the harvester to, you know, get a bill of goods, apparently, to a bill of lading on all of that. It's not the best way that we can think of.
Let me ask you this. I know when I went up to the first season that opened for the oysters, and I saw the harvesters, you know, they were scraping, and they put all of their catch in these baskets. And then when we went to the shoreline, there was a truck there, I guess a refrigeration truck, and everybody was taking their baskets and, I guess, selling them to the woman on the truck. I mean, isn't that kind of the same process, that when that guy brings his eight baskets to that woman takes and says, I got eight baskets from Harvester X, and that accounts for what's in her truck, and also that it shows how much the harvester got, doesn't it?
Right there on land is the difference, as long as all the receipts are fine. But you have to realize that up until about 3 years ago, when law enforcement came to fisheries management and said, we'll help you with the truck trade, because the truck trade turned out to be a real difficult thing to track for mandatory reporting. So, I mean, based on that experience, I think on the water is even more difficult.
Couldn't we just make that you couldn't have no more than what your pot, what your bushel limit is on the boat? Isn't that a possession? Can that be a possession law? Mm-hmm. Not just so much of it doesn't matter whether I got a buyer's license in my pocket. It's possession is.
It is.
I know it's a gray area there because, you know.
I think that's what that's doing. I think all that's occurring there is you're not buying.
Right on the water.
Right on, well, on your own boat, your own crabs, essentially. So what has happened is there have been individuals who are harvesters, and then they've got the buyer license too, so they can circumvent the vessel limit. So again, I hope the commission can let us have our trial run with this and see what happens.
I move we approve staff recommendation.
Second. Motion to approve staff recommendation on the harvester crab buyer on the same trip.
Second.
Second by Mr. Close. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any notes? Chair votes aye. That motion passes unanimously as well. Staff recommendation number 5 here, to make it unlawful for any person to possess dark sponge crabs from March 17th through June 15th. So the prohibition would kick in June 16th.
The allowance.
Yeah, correct, the allowance.
I move to approve that.
Motion by Mr. Close.
Second.
Second was it with a tie goes to Mr. Zedra. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Erskine.
I have a question. Some of the data that Rom showed about the mortality, was there any justification for moving that up to, you know, the 1st of June?
It was from the 1st of June to 15th, the temperatures were closer to about 22.3, which is up higher, where you still get, like, at least according to our data, 80 to 90% survival. It's a very high survival rate.
Okay. Thank you.
And just by chance, there was a real almost threshold change from that temperature up to above 25.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the table here. Is there further discussion? Calling for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. That motion passes unanimously as well. Staff recommendation number 6 pertaining to Blue Crab Sanctuary. Redefine the Virginia Blue Crab Sanctuary 1 as Crab Sanctuary 1A and Sanctuary Area 1B. To implement separate closure dates for sanctuaries 1A, 1B, and areas 2 through 4. Mr. Ballard.
I'd like to revisit two parts of this to make sure I understand. One I brought up before, the 1A and 1B, and I just want to clarify, if we had any letters or anything from the folks in the northern area that are asking for this, what's driving implementing this? If we've got guys here that are standing up saying, don't take a week away from us and give it to them, but okay. I didn't.
I'm sorry, yeah.
We had representation from Tangier, for one, on this. So we don't have any letters that came in, but during the course of the last 3 to 4 years, this is a CMAQ topic always, to the point where other CMAQ members who aren't in that northern area always commiserate about that situation, that they have to essentially get their season started up in mid-April, a little bit later even, and then the sanctuary closes down the season. So no letters on that.
Okay, and did CMAQ, did they vote unanimously in favor of this, or?
CMAQ did not vote on this. What CMAQ voted on was to continue the discussions and reshape things originally. So the original CMAQ discussions were on narrowing the sanctuary and changing the dates. But that then moved to just changing the dates. So, you know, it's something that at the last meeting, CMAQ said we can discuss it further, and what staff is saying is we sure can. Why not? We can discuss it further, but for right now, we have a starting point, which is a later closure in the most northern area and a week earlier closure in the Coastal Virginia Sanctuary out to the coast.
Okay. And my second question was some of the things going on around Area 4. From what I understood of it, it looked like our main concern there is user conflict and just that this is such a populated area.
It sounds to me as if today what was presented was that the crabbers would only get down to about 52nd Street or 48th. I'm not sure which was the final southern destination, but that area is highly recreational. And the other part was staff did not think that the three individuals who harvested there, or four, who harvested there before 2007, that there's any guarantee that there's not going to be more spillover to even exacerbate any type of user conflict.
Ms. Erskine.
Rob, there was a comment made during testimony that I guess it was areas 2 and 4 seem to go to the shoreline, but the other sanctuaries do not. Is that by design, or is there a reason behind that?
That is Area 2 did from the 1942 period. Area 4 was added on in 2007, and it was mainly just to cover all the area down to the North Carolina line. So actually, it was only part of that area that the CMAQ looked at to have for a crabbing area. But going to the shoreline, again, is something to consider. And I don't know this has happened. Oh, excuse me.
Isn't that 42 sanctuary codified in code?
Yes.
In its dimension?
Yes. Yes.
So,
and I was going to.
We don't have the authority to change the configuration of that sanctuary.
I was going to tell the commission that part of the comments that came out about that sanctuary were even to have the allowance to be further toward shore. And one of the longstanding members who goes way back indicated that already went before the General Assembly and was defeated. But I don't know when that happened.
Yeah. Mr. Seidman.
You know, I was listening to one gentleman talk about it. He's primarily in Area 2. These harvesters, are they bound by an area? Can that guy in 2, as this season goes up the bay, can he go up the bay with it?
Anyone can move. And, in fact, we were surprised as a staff to find out. We always knew there was movement because you hear it from the harvesters from the northern area south. But there's also movement not as pronounced in the other direction because the abundance of crabs in the spring is down below.
So that guy from number 2 can go to 1A and 1B?
It would probably be, you know, something that they're not used to, but yes, of course. Yeah.
Mr. Erskine.
I have one more, I guess, comment slash question about the sanctuaries. I was struck by some of the data that Rom showed about the number of females. And they disproportionately seemed at that time of the year, that season, to be in the lower part of the bay. And it recalls the time that Virginia and Maryland got together and had a 34% female reduction. And I don't know who got the worst end of that, but potentially that graph is, you know, indicative of that. My question about all of the sanctuary areas is, are at that time of year in the middle of summer, is that the majority of the crabs are where they are? Are they up in the tributaries? And are we getting the most bang for the buck in those sanctuary areas, if that's what we're trying to do?
Well, Dr. Lipschitz is here, but the sanctuary is meant to be a corridor. And so what he didn't show but has information on as well from other publications is that in the wintertime months, you have female crabs there. And then the progression down bay as it comes closer to that time period in May, the first spawn. Then, of course, the crabs are up the tributaries because one of the big complaints is that the sanctuary has shifted effort up the tributaries. So that brings CMAQ every few meetings to the idea of we ought to have temporary sanctuaries in the tributaries. And then that goes away, and then it's been going on since 1996. So, yeah, there is a pattern there, definitely.
Thank you.
Well, what's your druthers on the sanctuary provision? Would you like to make the change by staff? Do you want to keep it at status quo?
I move we adopt it as staff recommends it.
The motion by Mr. Zedrin. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there any discussion on this? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well here, so that motion is approved unanimously. Agenda item number seven recommendation is the continued another annual closure of the winter crab dredge fishery. Just close. You want to lead discussion on this?
Well, I move that we work with VIMS and staff to revisit this at a later date where we could come up at CMAQ meeting and try to figure out what we can do with this fishery instead of just pushing it on the table and just throwing it off and kicking it under the bench. You know, we have good studies. We have good data. And I think we should use the best available science that we have to see what we can do to work on this fishery, to try to improve it, to maybe model other fisheries down the road from this as far as what goes on.
Ask a question.
Mr. Caesar.
As we stand right here today, that fishery in this day of May, it's closed. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So what, based on his motion, the CMAQ and whoever else can get together between now and December 1st when it would open, and if they come up with some regulations or some recommendation, they could come back in here and say, look, instead of December 1st, maybe we'll do it September 1st. So they've got all that time to do that. But it would stay in effect until December 1st, right?
Mm-hmm. It's closed until opened.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'll say a couple things along that regard. And one is that's been looked at a number of times over the years. It's been discussed on how to reopen this fishery, under what conditions. And there was a call here to move forward with the trigger and triggers, which would establish the biological soundness level of the overall abundance that would have the triggers for us to enact a fishery of some
sort. And that's those two levels of 284, 264, and then the other one, right?
129 spawning age females. Those are the females, crabs, out of the dredge survey that will spawn, if not harvested, in either late May or July, August, and then the other statistic was 264 juveniles. The 264 juveniles was met. That trigger was met with 269 juveniles, but the other one was not.
And as I recall the discussions in 2013, there was substantial support from the industry for these triggers. And Dr. Neal here believes it was kind of unanimous. I remember some very wide-ranging support on that. I'm kind of surprised to hear now the discussions involved that the triggers should be ignored. Well, these were run through the Crab Stock Assessment Committee here, and they've been worked on by VIMS in Maryland, and the scientists say that these are abundance-level triggers in which a dredge fishery wouldn't be an issue.
I just think the commission, there has been more information and more stuff been put out since then, and I just think it should be revisited. I just think at the time it was a hasty call. I think the information that we have now is more than we had back then.
Mr. Erskine.
So I agree with Mr. Close that I think we don't necessarily have to make a decision about this at this time. We do have until December 1st, and I think it would, in hearing some of the testimony, behoove this commission to let CMAQ discuss it further. I don't think that hurts anything, really. I understand the triggers, and we met one of them. We aren't, in my opinion, all too far off from the other trigger, because this dredge survey has incredibly high error bars around it, which I can't understand from year to year is plus or minus 50 or 100 million juveniles or spawning age females. And I think it would take, some discussion. I'm not saying that it should be opened or should not be opened, but I don't see the harm in really delaying a decision here to allow CMAQ to discuss it further.
I got a question.
Mr. Zedra.
I don't know much about CMAQ. I mean, what is their time schedule? They meet like once a month or once a quarter or?
It varies. So I think CMAQ met 4 months in a row and just concluded recently with the fourth meeting. At other times, it's every few months. Certainly, there won't be as much activity after today's actions for CMAQ to look at, but they do have things they want to look at. They want to look at the agent situation that you've heard today on are there too many agents, even with 125. They started to look at effort control, as did quite a bit on the side of the industry panel looking at effort control. So there are issues. And I think from staff's point of view, we could definitely have meetings.
I guess my point is, I mean, if they're not going to meet till September, and then they're going to have to somehow get the notice out. And I listened to one of the gentlemen here. He said the meeting's got so many agendas on it or speakers that he really can't get anything done. So my idea is can we realistically, if we do continue it, get some kind of meaningful feedback from them within that period of time? And then when do we continue this too?
Well, that's what he was asking for, nothing but to focus on crab dredging. That was it. Not latent effort, not overpot fishing, not that. Just a 3-hour on that. Am I correct?
Yeah.
On that?
Yes.
That was all, not anything, other agendas on there.
Right, but that's what he's asking for. That doesn't say that's what CMAQ is going to do.
Right. Other than Mr. Close, is there another dredge person on the committee right now? So I think Mr. Close is the only dredger. So what I would anticipate, CMAQ would receive information from others, which is part of the public process for CMAQ as well. But Mr. Close would be the lone representative of CMAQ with knowledge and background in the crab dredge fishery.
Mr. Zedra, I would support that concept. If indeed we tripped the triggers, if we had the abundance level that was tripping these triggers that were established 2 years ago and refined through this by the scientists, I think it makes plenty of sense to have a full day or even a multi-day crab management advisory committee to more better refine how and in what manner would this fishery be opened. But
what I'm saying here is that if we go ahead and approve the staff recommendation, what's to keep CMAQ from having her meeting and then coming back to us in July or August or September and say, hey, look, this is our new data, here's our recommendation. Then if we like it, we can adopt it. I mean, I don't think we're stuck in the cement here if we approve this item, are we?
No.
Direct them to. We really need to do some different thinking and stuff.
Mr. Malik, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I was just looking at CMAQ's request, and their request was that we table the vote on this issue. And the way I understand it is that dredge fishery is closed until opened. So I don't really see a problem on sending this back to CMAQ.
Commission still has to close it, though.
Okay.
So, and it would have to close before December 1. It had to be a vote of the commission at the November meeting. We don't have November meetings lately, so October. So it still has to be voted on each year, just like you're going through right now.
If we can get this done, that's in 5 months. It's just October. I'm sure CMAQ can meet within 5 months.
Well, commission operates on a motion.
I give my motion. I gave my motion a little while ago. I mean, motion to bring it back in front of CMAQ and VIMS and staff to figure out what.
So it would be a motion to continue this matter until.
Until it comes in front of CMAQ.
Okay. That's a motion by Mr. Close.
Second.
Second by Mr. Erskine.
I'd have a motion to amend.
Mr. Cedric.
That. Put that October air date in here as a return date, as a Alaskan return date.
Okay. With work to be completed by the October Commission meeting as the latest date.
Right.
Mr. Close, you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Mr. Erskine, the seconder, accepts it as well. So we have a motion, a second on the table. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Let's see Mac take a whack at this for a while.
Does that mean there'll need to be another public notice prior to the October meeting?
Indeed, there would have to be another public notice.
Yes.
So, well, it's been a long 5 hours. I'd like to take a 10-minute break here, give everybody a chance to hit the bathroom and recharge here. So we'll recess for 10 minutes.